That's right. It is summer vacation for the Chicago Bears. No, this is not the opening scene to the movie Dazed and Confused. This is just another episode of the Chicago Football Podcast. I need to change the theme song just for this week because it is summertime in Chicago for the Bears and many NFL teams around the league. Minicamp is over. OTAs are done. The offseason program has concluded, which means the Bears go on summer vacation for 6 weeks until training camp at Bourbonnais. And you just get that last day of school feeling. So when I think last day of school, of course, we think school's out for summer. Kevin Fishbane here, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Joined in studio today by my executive producer, Dan Mott. You can follow him at Mott's Thoughts. He was with us at minicamp all week, has some good photos and video from Bears minicamp. Follow all of our Bears content at Bears_Insider on Twitter and online at profootballweekly.com/Bears. What do we have for you on today's episode? We got an interview with the man, the myth, the legend, John Moon Mullen from Comcast Sportsnet. We'll talk Bears with me, recap minicamp, and look ahead to Bourbonnais, and then a quick interview with new Bears defensive end Akeem Hicks. Talk a little bit about his intriguing road to the NFL, how he fits in this defense, and of course some fun random questions. So veteran minicamp, 3 days done in the books. What were the big stories? Of course it starts and ends with Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey was there. He looked great. He looked like Alshon Jeffrey. Even John Fox said, you know, he was in really good shape, looked like he was ready to roll. Jeffrey came to the podium after the first day, or the backdrop, I guess. They don't have a podium outside for us. And there was nothing surprising that came out of it. Alshon Jeffrey is a soft-spoken guy. He is not going to go up there and blast the organization. He's not going to go up there and complain about not having a long-term contract. He's just a man of few words. That's how he's always been with the Bears. And the takeaway for me is I don't know how much this contract situation is really weighing on him. I really believe he is, if he has to play on the franchise tag, so be it. That's a cool, you know, $14.5 million he'll get for playing one season, and he'll try to prove he can stay healthy for a full year, maybe make a Pro Bowl, and then he can cash in on that next year either with another franchise tag or a long-term deal from the Bears or somebody else. I'm sure he wants it. I'm sure it's what he prefers. But that's just kind of what I kind of gauge from it, is that he was just here to play football. He didn't really want to talk about it. He knew he had to answer questions about it. But that's just kind of the guy Alshon Jeffrey is. And Bears, if he's healthy, if Kevin White's healthy, if Eddie Royal's healthy, they got a good situation receiver. But they did lose Marquise Wilson, who refractured his foot. And Marquise Wilson was kind of an interesting player because we've seen flashes over the years from him. And he probably is the best route runner and pure pass catcher of the guys vying for the number four wide receiver spot. But he doesn't contribute on special teams the way that Josh Bellamy, Deontay Thompson, Mark Mariani, and Daniel Braverman can, whichever those guys can win. Mariani, Thompson, and Braverman can win a return job. So Wilson, it looks like he'll start the season on PUP. You know, will he return? Will he be able to play? One thing to always remember about the depth when we talk about this, it's important to have depth. When you stay healthy, this might sound like the dumbest and most obvious thing, it doesn't matter. Remember, the Bears had Marshall, Jeffrey, and Earl Bennett, and that was it in 2013 when they were second in the league in scoring. They didn't need Marquise Wilson that year. And then, of course, last year, 2015, 2 years later, everyone goes down, and you needed everyone to step up. So, you know, Wilson's injury, I think, highlights some of those guys vying for roster spots, throw Cameron Meredith in the mix as well. And then, of course, Alshon Jeffrey, Eddie Royal, Kevin White. They have to stay healthy. Other kind of notes, you know, Pernell McPhee was not there. It was our first time to talk to John Fox about it. And guess what? He didn't really tell us much. Just said that they're doing what they think is best for Pernell McPhee and what they, you know, what McPhee thinks is best for him, which is probably just getting maintenance on the knee. And, you know, will he start training camp on the PUP list? That'll be the big thing. You know, they need him healthy for as many games as they can get. They got to do everything they can to keep that knee right. You know, look, they have a little more insurance this year back there with Leonard Floyd, who we talked to this week. Man, poor Leonard Floyd. When are we going to not ask him questions about food? You know, it's an interesting storyline, and we're going to be watching it. But frankly, and Vic Fangio, John Fox have kind of alluded to it, he's going to be at a certain weight. It's not going to be that much bigger than he is now. Yet all we can do, I think it's, you know what it is, Dan? I think we're just all jealous.
Absolutely.
That he could just set these alarms for himself, yeah. Eat whatever he wants all day. And that's his bosses are requiring him to do that.
It's – what did he say? It's either every hour or every
hour.
Other hour. It's – I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I can't imagine for those listening.
I think I could probably eat every hour and I would feel miserable, of course. But like – I think that's why we're just so fascinated by that. That's what he gets to do for a living right now.
Well, and the day that he spoke, it was probably about 92, 93 or plus degrees out, and the humidity was very high. And Leonard Floyd came up, and he was sweating bullets. I think he said it's Georgia weather out there.
Yep.
And you wonder when you see him sweating like that, how much is he losing just in sweat just from working out that morning? I mean, you figure he's going to have to compensate for that as well. It's crazy.
It is. And, you know, once he puts pads on and starts playing, we'll try to move away from the weight narrative. But for now, it's really all we can kind of talk to him about, aside from some of the things he's learning. He had some interesting stuff about what he's learned from Willie Young, kind of a big brother, little brother situation there. And then minicamp ended on Thursday. John Fox kind of surprised me. He canceled practice. They were all stretching. I was out there taking attendance. And they go to their little huddle, which they do every time after they stretch. And then that huddle leads into individual drills. John Fox was in the middle of the huddle. He was saying some things. We heard some hooting, hollering, and then practice was over. So he surprised the players. He said they earned it. They worked hard. Maybe they don't want any other injuries before summer break. A lot of teams do this. I just didn't think kind of an old school guy like John Fox, who is a player's coach too, would do it. But certainly the players were happy about it. I think there were certainly some reporters that were pleased to get the summer vacation started soon. But, you know, this is everyone asking, oh, what do you do during the off season? What do you write about? This is the off season right now. This is, you know, from June, you know, 16th. Until July 26th, 27th, when they report to Bourbonnais, this is the dark period, the quiet time. But we won't be dark here on the Chicago Football Podcast. And to recap more of Bears minicamp, we're going to be joined by Comcast Sportsnet's John Moon Mullen. You can follow Moon Mullen on Twitter at CSN Moon Mullen. And Moon, you've covered a couple more minicamps than I have in your career. Before we talk about this specific minicamp, what can you generally, you think, glean from watching these guys in June in shorts? I mean, what are some of the things you kind of have looked for over the years as something that maybe you kind of remember back when the season actually gets started?
You know, Fish, that's really a good thing because I think that's one of the things you'd love to get inside a coach's mind and know what are you looking at? And I think something that's always been easy, not easy to see, but something that to me watch for, and I think, you know, you and I and everybody, we were looking for that over the OTAs and the minicamp. You know, it's sort of the underwear Olympics, even as Fox would say, but you can see speed. Again, they're much faster than they're going to be in pads, and obviously they're not hitting each other. But the quickness, which tells me how well they've settled into schemes or how well they're picking up stuff. You know, I still remember Mike Brown, who came out, you know, the second pick of Urlacher's draft. And watching him, and I remember Mark Hadley saying afterwards, I said, "Boy, the kid, he's quick. He's so fast." He said, "He's got his assignments down." And that's the thing that they were watching for. He said he did not make a mistake the entire minicamp. And, again, we can't, you know, you and I are watching. We don't know what the call was. But I think you can see, as we saw, like with Leonard Floyd, I mean, some of the offensive linemen couldn't get to him. He would be out, you know, he's moving so quickly. Again, there are no pads, and it's a lot easier to move. But it's apples to apples. Nobody's wearing pads, so I guess we're not timing in 40s. But I think we can really see who's kind of got it at this point. Doesn't mean that they're good. I think the other thing is sometimes the chemistry. Again, it doesn't win you any games in June, but if you don't have it, it can cost you games later on. And so you're sort of watching this team. Not that they like each other, but what's the dynamic? You know, how well are they working together? And because you see that, now you're going to see guys like Bobby Massey and Kyle Long who like to work out together. So you see some friendships, and maybe that manifests itself as the season goes along. Because like I say, if it's not there, then it is a problem. So if it is there, then you maybe we are looking at something good.
Yeah, I think it's always a good sign when you hear the new guys like Danny Trevathan come out there and talk about the brotherhood and hear returning players single out some of the new guys and the way they've built up the camaraderie there. And Moon, I'm contractually obligated to ask you about Alshon Jeffrey because, I mean, he is the story. My viewpoint on it, and I just kind of talked about this earlier on the show, I just see him the way he is personality-wise, which we don't get to see a ton of, just the type of guy he is. But kind of based on what he said, I really don't believe his contract is weighing on him. I think he just wanted to play football, and if he plays in the franchise tag, he plays in the franchise tag. But he's just not the type of person. You know, you see the stuff from Von Miller in Denver and the way he threatens to sit out. I don't think Alshon's that kind of guy. I think he legitimately just wants to play football, and he's going to really just let his agent, Ryan Pace, talk about what's next.
Yeah, I agree with you, Fish. I think that's a great take on it because, you know, remember, he signed the thing almost within a couple of weeks of after when they put it on him. So often you'll see a guy or his agent will just say, well, don't sign until the last minute. They think that's leverage and so forth. We haven't seen that. I don't know. I don't like that he's not working with teammates, you know, building some of that chemistry, you know, with Jay Cutler. But he's played his whole entire career with Jay, so I'm not sure he needs a lot of work there. And he was there last year all through Adam Gase's first year. So I'm not sure how much it schematically will change with Dow Loggins. But, you know, that bothers me a little bit. But more to your bigger point, I don't think he's not posturing and not saying combative things. I think, remember, he seemed almost kind of not amused, but he was seen in good spirits as he's talking about it, which I don't think you see it for the guy who's really obsessed with it.
Yeah, that's just, you know, and again, as you and I know from having been around him the past few years, that's just his personality and how he is. And few, you know, it's so early when it comes to the position battles, but I want to talk to you about just a couple positions that I get asked about a lot. And this is one of my favorite things, Moon, about Bears fans. There is no position I'm asked about more than the number two tight end spot. I swear, like every day I get it from people. Maybe it's because it's kind of been a year after year theme. Even when the Martellus Bennett, when they had the guy, everyone was worried about who's going to be behind him. Now you have Zach Miller, and with his injury history and all the attempts to get people, they signed Tony Moyaki today. We know they have Kari Lee, Rob Hausler, Ben Brownaker, the undrafted rookie from Harvard. Moon, tell these Bears fans they don't have anything to worry about, or they should keep asking us questions about the number two tight end spot.
Well, you know, they're still looking for the next Mike Ditka, aren't they? I think that's right. The perpetual quest in Chicago, even if he's number one or number two. You know, I don't know, Fish. I mean, if Zach Miller is your number two or Moyaki is number two, you're not hurting at that position. The only question I would have is how much are they going to – because Loggins is saying we're going to run even more than we did last year, which was about 46-47% of the time. Well, in order to do that – you can run out of spread. They've got big wide receivers. That's one thing that I think we underestimate, the importance of Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey as blockers. But you need a good tight end, and if they go with a fullback, that, you know, mitigates some of the importance of the tight end position. But it is fun. There's some. I think the number two quarterback and the number, you know, the number two tight end. I think those are those weird questions like, really? I have to think for a second. Who is the number two tight end?
And then, you know, here's a position that maybe is a little more important. Like, this guy's going to be on the field a lot, the safety spot. And I've, you know, with John Fox, he doesn't talk about individual players very much, but he kind of nonchalantly mentioned Harold Jones-Cordy a couple times this past week.
Yeah.
And I think right now people are going to be surprised if that HJQ might have the early edge to start next to Adrian Amos over the rookie Deion Bush or the veteran Chris Brzezinski and Omar Bolden. I mean, we know Amos is going to get one spot, but how do you see that competition shaking out for the other spot?
Well, I guess Devin Bush would be the one I would expect, just not because he's a draft choice. The reason, I mean, that's, people sometimes tend to overestimate that. Well, he's playing because he's a draft choice. No, he's a draft choice because they think he has some talent. So that's the thing. He is an impressive athlete. That said, HJQ, I thought, do you think he looked bigger? I mean, I thought he looked much more physical than I remember him from last year. So you're spot on, though, Fish. I think when a coach who doesn't talk about players mentions a player, he's clearly liking what he sees. In fact, he mentioned that Jones Cordy wasn't even there last year, this time last year. So, yeah, at this point, he'd rate as the early favorite for that. And if he, that said, is there a position that has had more problems filling it than safety in the last 10 years, 15 years for the Bears? It's just maybe we're jinxing him by giving him that job.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Moon, in your career, you've probably seen a fair amount of starting safeties.
For the, I think all of them.
Yeah, I've only been on the beat for 3 years, and I've seen four different guys starting at safety at some point.
Yeah, it's like somebody sticking pins in a DB doll somewhere because they can't stay healthy or they get one good year. Remember Al Afalava?
Yep.
Just a name at least.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, 1 year that he started, he's a rookie starter, and he was cut the next year. It's like, man, it's just, even when they get the job, they can't hold on to it.
Yeah, well, they thought it was going to be Conte and Major Wright. They had the 1 year where the two of them started, every game side by side. You know, to your Dowell metaphor, I could see Mark Carrier kind of being, he was the last first-round pick of the position at least. Maybe he's the one that's, keeping this or Mike Brown was last Pro Bowler at the safety. So I think these former safeties are the ones that are prying here. The last position unit I want to talk to you about is the offensive line, because as great as Kyle Long is, and I fully expect him to be great in the transition to right guard and to be able to maybe make a fourth Pro Bowl, they like Charles Leno a lot more than people really realize, I think. But still, you're going to have probably a rookie at left guard. Hronos Grisou, how is he going to bounce back, in his second year? Bobby Massey, now people don't know a ton about him. I mean, you still have a lot of some new faces, guys in different spots in that line. They're going younger. They're going more athletic. But I think this is a position that's going to get a lot of scrutiny and a lot of focus. I mean, it's going to happen because it's the offensive line. But what's kind of your evaluation of it at this point?
I think it really is it's not a sexy bunch of positions, but I think you're right, Fish. This is going to be one of those ones that if it's not good, it's going to show up in Jay Cutler's performance. If it's not good, it's going to show up in Langford and Carey and whatever the running backs do. It's the crutch, or it's the foundation that everything grows from. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it yet, Fish. I mean, I'm with you. Kyle Long has wanted to be a guard since he came here. I think he did the right thing. Well, the coaches tell you where to play. His dad would tell him, get there and shut up. But, until it really shakes out, like Bobby Massey, well, a nice pickup. It'd probably upgrade you at right guard, right tackle. But I'm thinking teams didn't let guys like John Runyon, if you got a really good one, you don't let him go.
Yeah.
And is there something in the history, if they didn't really, if the Cardinals weren't that impressed with him, I don't know. I don't know how good he is. Although I think Arians was more of a passing offense than the Bears intend to be. So maybe Loggins' scheme or his philosophy going along with John Fox will play to Massey's strength, literally and figuratively, because he's, obviously a better run blocker than a pass blocker. But, I think this is one of those things where they're going to have to help, but being a running team is typically going to help an offensive line. They love the smash mouth. I think that's why so many of the Bears offense, you can name the guys 30 years later, the 80s Bears, with Walter Payton, because they were just, they tee off and just beat people up. I think that's what this team needs to be. And we'll see, as things go along, if they're capable of doing that.
Yeah. Just a few more here with Moon Mullen of Comcast Sportsnet. By the way, Moon, I hope it's okay. At the top of the show, I introduced you as the man, the myth, the legend, Moon Mullen.
Well, you got the myth part. The myth part is definitely the right thing.
So this is kind of talking a little more football media, going inside media. I think fans would be interested to hear from you. There's so many obvious things about the way covering this team has changed over the years. Is there one part of it that you really like? That you really enjoy, that this is a part of media in 2016? And is there a part of it that you just, or is there something from the 90s that you really long for that we don't get covering the Bears anymore?
We don't cover football, Fish. I've said this before, we cover people. So anything that makes it harder to have relationships with people, to me, gets in the way of the job. Now, again, not to complain about our job, we're doing something a lot of people would do for free, but that's the thing whether it's, you know, we do get some more access, let's say, you know, more open locker rooms than we used to in let's say 15, 20 years ago. But relationships with coaches, for example, I mean, you know, we don't get the position coaches but the one day of the week. And those were so helpful, besides, you know, delightful guys or a lot of interesting people, but they would give you, you know, they wouldn't give you confidential information, but a position coach lets you know what to keep your eye on, or, you know, what do you really think? How is he doing? They could help you in doing your job, and you wouldn't burn them. I mean, it was, you know, without giving away state secrets. So I think it's the loss of the relationship stuff. I think the, you know, the NFL has seemed to, as it's moving into a more, you know, different phase as a business, they don't need the media as much. I mean, their own websites are competing with a lot of our jobs. And, you know, the business, I mean, a dog with a note in its mouth could sell the NFL. You know, they don't need what they once did. So, you know, they're managing the message better, or more, I wouldn't say better, but they're managing more closely. And that just makes it a little more difficult. I mean, it seems there's always a PR guy, you know, in the locker room. It's not like you can't talk to somebody, but so often there's a, if it's more than two people, two reporters, it can be a casual conversation, but there's always a PR guy kind of on your shoulder. And, you know, that change, every individual added to any conversation changes. If it's just you and me, we're one way. If it's you, me, and Potsy, or you, me, and Rich, or somebody like that, it's a different conversation. Well, now you put somebody, you know, representative of management next to everybody, and, you know, guys just get more guarded. And I think that's maybe the thing that's maybe a little bit different about the job.
Mm-hmm. And I know your favorite part, my favorite part at least, of 2016 Bears media coverage is more Moon on my television. That's what we're always looking for.
We got to change your viewing habits, pal.
I'll wrap up with this, Moon. One of the things we talk about on the show, we're kind of thinking about going into Bourbonnais, which is 6 weeks from the day we're recording this.
Yeah.
We're talking about training camp superstars. I think this Kieran Duncan guy, who's really fast, undrafted rookie, I think fans are going to fall in love with him in Bourbonnais. Who is your favorite training camp superstar from your years covering the Bears?
Wow, boy, that's a... It would, I'd have to be somebody like him who's just one of those Smurfs that they're so fast. They're like they're little water bugs. They're just moving around so fast. Gosh, I have to think about that one.
Yeah, because we were going back to some recent ones. I mean, there was the summer of Fendi Annabun, where every time he'd made a play, yeah, everyone was just so excited. I think I want to say Aroma Shadu was a guy like that. I mean, he made the team, of course.
Yeah.
But there seem to be every year, there just seems to be that guy that just steals the heart of Bourbonnais and then maybe doesn't amount to a whole lot when the regular season comes around.
Yeah, it's a great point. In fact, even the fun part of it is, Fish, we get into preseason, and here's the funny part. I can see them, but I can't remember their names. You know, there'd be a backup quarterback and a backup wide receiver, and they look up for an 86-yard touchdown pass, and they're cut next week. You know, the guys who have kind of caught on, and yeah, I think that's something uniquely, I don't want to say uniquely American, but I think we love a success story, the little guy or woman who comes out of nowhere and really makes it. So I think we maybe as a culture like those kinds of stories, but you're right that sometimes, boy, they're just the darlings, and there's a reason why they weren't drafted. Kind of surfaces every once in a while, and they show you every so often.
Absolutely. All right, John Moon Mullen, I'm just going to say the legend, so you can't change
that. Thank you.
Of Comcast SportsNet. Follow him on Twitter at CSN Moon Mullen. Moon, I opened the show by talking about how school's out for summer. Enjoy your summer vacation, and we'll see you in Bourbonnais.
Will do, Fish. Thanks, buddy.
All right. That was Moon Mullen. A lot of fun talking with him about the Bears. Before we recap that conversation, you know what time it is. It's time to talk Loot Crate. LootCrate.com. It's a monthly subscription box service for all you geeks, nerds, and comic book lovers out there. Each month, you get a mystery box full of collectibles. Always includes a t-shirt, a couple other items. $45 value in every box. And guess what? Using our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W, you get $3 off your first crate if you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Now, we're recording this on June 16th. You have until June 19th to get the June crate, which is dystopia themed. We're talking RoboCop, Terminator 2, Fallout 4, and The Matrix. Dan Mott, were you a Matrix guy? At least the first one.
Yeah, the first one I didn't mind.
Yeah, the first. I actually don't think I've seen the other two fully through. They're just on TNT like every other day. So you can see some things. But the first Matrix, I mean, that's still a classic to me.
You know what we haven't touched on these Loot Crate reads is if you don't call before or get in before that deadline, it won't be back. As in, you know, Arnold would have said, I'll be back.
That's true. Look at you throwing in the Terminator line. That's right. So by June 19th, you can get the dystopia-themed box. If you're a fan of, again, RoboCop, Terminator 2, The Matrix, you'll find some memorabilia from those movies. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W. And even if it's past June 19th, you can take a look at some of the other crates. They're out there. Great stuff for you. And make sure to use our promo code Shaw. All right. It was always fun to watch a Bears practice with Moon Mull. And he's covered so many practices and games over the years. And I like to kind of pick his brain. He to go a little inside media here. He sits behind me in the press box at Soldier Field. That's kind of where we're seated. So you know, every once in a while, I'll kind of stand up, stretch my legs, go back to the seat, kind of break down the game with him a little bit. Always great to get his insight. And it was nice of him. He was at his nephew's baseball game during that.
I was wondering where he was.
I was going to check in to see what, you know, it looked like a big play happened, but nice of him to take some time and chat Bears. And you know, I think he brings up a great point about the speed of this team, because that is something Ryan Pace really emphasized, that they want to increase team speed. And you see it with Drell Freeman and Dan Trevathan in the middle of the field. You're going to see it with Kevin White on offense. Now, our next interview, you're not going to think of him as a speed demon. This is Akeem Hicks, defensive end. He is massive and he is strong. In fact, he's so strong, he'll tell you that he believes he's the strongest player on the entire Bears team. So enjoy this interview with newest Bear, Akeem Hicks.
You've played in a few 3-4 defenses now. What is it about Vic's defense that is a good fit for you and your skill set?
It allows me to play to my strengths, and it feels like everybody can be or is expected to be a little bit more versatile and be able to get out there and play this position and come back in and play another, and just provide a lot of different things to the defense.
Kyle's talked about your strength and your kind of size on there, but there's talk about Eddie's size, talk about and strength, everybody else in that line, Bullard. Are you the strongest guy on the line?
That's not a fair question, but yes.
But yes, offensive line too. If you were to be both all lines together, you're strongest guy on the team. All right. Well, pound for pound though,
Probably still up there.
We'll take that. All right, that works. Are there nuances about the game that you, or is there a specific thing you understand so much better now than you did? Not even your first year in the league, because there always the transition from Canadian college football, but maybe from first year to second year. Like, what are some of the things you understand so much better now here in this year, fifth season?
In the NFL, you're supposed to, you're expected to grow every year, and there are going to be different things expected of you. I just want to make sure that my arrow is always pointing up, and that was something that I was taught from an early age. You know, as far as league years, you know, just make sure that you're always growing, you're always pushing to that next level.
And then this is a really important question: who wears the hoodie better, Vic Fangio's hoodie or Bill Belichick's hoodie?
Oh goodness, that's my guy. I got to roll with Vic.
You got to roll with Vic. But today, Wednesday's practice, 94 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. Did you ever like go check on him? Say like, you all right? Is it too hot?
Hey, he looked pretty good. I got to tell you one thing about Vic. He's in very good shape. I see him up in the weight room getting it in every once in a while, and so I'm sure he could eat it up. And he's not running around like us.
Right, that's
so
true.
He'll be all right.
But he'll bark at you guys a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
He'll jaw you. So this is fun for me because 4 years ago, right before you entered the league, I actually interviewed you at the combine and over the phone did a story for Yahoo about your kind of travel. And I remember you telling me about working at DirecTV.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you even still think back to those days before? And I remember you said, I think you were living with your sister at the time, and you drove up to Canada. Mm-hmm. How much do you think about that times?
I told the guys a story about that the other day in the meeting room. We were just talking about, you know, different things and where guys came from as far as school. And being a junior college guy, you have to fend for yourself a little bit more than a guy that's getting a scholarship right off the bat. So I told him about my previous jobs. I worked at Applebee's, worked in grocery stores, worked at DirecTV. This isn't my first job, put it that way.
You know? Right. What do you miss most about Canada?
Nothing.
What do you miss most about DirecTV?
Absolutely. You know what? I miss the, what is that package? The Sunday ticket. There we go.
You could probably get one here.
You probably could.
Not that you need it.
I used to get it for free, so now you don't have to pay for it. Sucks.
That's nice. You don't have to deal with phone calls anymore.
Right. Those kind of phone calls saves me a little bit of time.
And remind me, you do have some kind of connection, family connection to Chicago, right? Is it your
mother? Yeah. I have family from here. Yeah, okay. I got a bunch of family out here, actually.
Where from Chicago are they from?
Southside.
Okay. And they're pretty excited then?
Oh, they're juiced. Yeah. I went to church with them 2 weekends ago.
Okay.
And it was good to see them. They showed me around church like I was their best pet. So it was a good time.
And you've been you're pretty active on Twitter a little bit. Not nearly as
I've just gotten more active.
More active.
You know what? Kyle pushes me to get more active because he always has something smart to say, so I always have to give him a jab or two.
Well, smart's a little bit of a strong term. I'm gonna give Kyle a hard time. What's been kind of the fun part of engagement with the Chicago fans now that you've been here and tweeting and seeing?
Oh man, they're rowdy. They have no problem getting after you and telling you what they think, and I love them for it.
You've been to a few sporting events out here already, from what I've seen.
Shoot, I've seen just about everything. I went to the Copa America Cup. I went to a Sox game and I went to a Blackhawks game. So I've been to every stadium almost. Right.
What's next on the Chicago bucket list?
Oh, the Bulls. I got to see the Bulls play.
Okay, we got a while for that then.
Yeah, we got a while.
Other touristy things you're still looking to do?
You know what? All my touristy time is running out. We're about to hit training camp, and then you know everything shuts down at that point.
That's true. And then it's gonna be cold after the season, so you're gonna wanna.
I'll be in the house.
Yeah. There you go. What do you have plans for the big 5 week vacation coming up?
No, I wish it was. Really back to training. Really just back to a more focused training. A little bit off the field, more in the weight room, making sure you're keeping strength and staying in great conditioning so we can push through this training camp and have a great year.
Mm-hmm. Just a few more. We kind of do a little lightning round here.
Okay.
You ready for this?
How fast is this lightning round?
We'll go quickly.
Oh, okay.
Favorite food,
lasagna.
Any type of lasagna?
No, just all of it.
What's one thing you need on every road trip?
Socks.
Socks?
Socks. What good kind? Socks.
Like, good socks?
Like cotton socks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You're with New England in a couple months. Let's say there's a scuffle or something. Who do you want on this team in your corner?
Oh, Danny.
Yeah.
Definitely Danny.
And music you got to listen to before a practice or game?
Kanye.
And who's the funniest bear?
Shoot, that's a tough one. It'd have to be Tracy Porter. Keith Browner really isn't that funny. It'd have to be Tracy Porter or Jarrell. Yeah.
All right. Well, Keem's.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
We got
this guy right here, Bellamy. I have to give it to him.
He's been on the podcast before.
The most personality on the team.
I've seen that before. All right. Yeah, well, now you have something in common. We've been on the podcast. We thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
All right, thanks again to Akeem Hicks, who you should, he's trying to endear himself out there to the Bears fans. You can follow him on Twitter at the_dream99. By the way, Keith Browner was just happened to be walking down the hall when I was asking about the funniest bear. I was surprised that he said Tracy Porter. I like Tracy Porter, don't get me wrong, an interesting guy, but doesn't essentially seem like the outwardly funny guy. But Josh Bellamy, we've had him on the podcast. He's a friend of the program. So and hopefully we'll have Akeem Hicks on again. He can get into the front of the program category. But we talked defensive line last week, so we heard from Will Sutton and Akeem Hicks. He's going to be starting there. He's going to be right next to Eddie Goldman with maybe Jonathan Bullard or Mitch Unrein. And everyone talks about his strength and his size. And that's what they need. You got to be able to hold up the point of attack and be able to kind of make those plays against the run. And I think that's really where he's going to be able to help them out. So Akeem Hicks, he mentioned Dane Trevathan, the guy he wants in his corner, Jarrell Freeman. These are the new guys. Get to know these guys. If Deion Bush, the rookie starting at safety, Leonard Floyd, Jonathan Bullard, these guys, this is your new defense. I mean, this is Lamar Houston and Willie Young have been on the team since 2014, along with Kyle Fuller. And really, that's about it. Otherwise, it is brand new on the defensive side of the ball. One other thing I want to talk about for minicamp, we did talk to Jay Cutler this week. And it's June, which means it's a rite of passage. Every year we have to ask Jay about his new offensive coordinator. But the narrative was different. And I have a story about it at profootballweekly.com/bears. He explained to us last year the process in learning a new offense. And he doesn't have to do that this year. I mean, there are going to be new plays, but a lot of the verbiage is the same. This basic scheme he referred to as the backbone is the same. Remember, he knows Dow Loggins. They go way back. He joked about how honest they are with each other. So we can kind of keep talking about this, the new another coordinator, but it's just different this year. And what's different is the fact that that's the same. But if you look at the guys around him, that's really where the question marks come. We've talked about ad nauseum. No Martellus Bennett, no Matt Forte. I mean, think about this. Every time Jay Cutler has been a Bear, Matt Forte's been right by his side. This is the first year he won't have him there. So that puts a little added pressure on Jeremy Langford. But it was good stuff from Jay Cutler, just kind of hearing about how the transition is going and what he's thinking about this team, and, of course, working with Kevin White and having Alshon Jeffrey there as well. So minicamp is over. OTA's done. It is time to get ready for training camp. But guess what? The Chicago Football Podcast, we're not going anywhere. We'll be back next week. We'll probably take a week off during the 4th of July holiday, but we'll try to keep giving you stuff until Bears training camp, and we'll be obviously previewing that, and then we'll be in Bourbonnais, hopefully getting lots of player interviews for you out there. Dan, there's 90 players on the roster. I'm getting to a point where I'm afraid I'm going to start running out of guys.
Yeah, no.
You know, when we get friends of the program, too, I can't re-ask them their favorite road trip item, and I can't keep asking defensive players about Vic Fangio's sweatshirt. So, look, if you have good questions you want to ask these players, be sure to tweet it.
Yes.
At KFishbane, at Bears_Insider. But we'll try to keep bringing you these fun player interviews throughout the season. But for the next few weeks, we'll bring on some more folks involved in NFL media and get kind of maybe more of a national take on the 2016 Bears, because I said 6 weeks away from training camp, an indeterminate amount of weeks until the first game. I didn't do the math in my head. Well, let's say 12.
Yeah, that sounds about
that
right.
Sound like a good number?
Yeah, that's,
maybe 13.
I'm sitting here trying to do the 13. Math in my head.
I know it was 100 days like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I think we're kind of in like the middle 80 days or something until the Bears take on the Texans. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Schools Out for Summer Chicago Football Podcast as the Bears head out for their summer vacation. Some thank yous to pass along. John Moon Mullen from Comcast Sportsnet and Bears defensive end Akeem Hicks. Dan, we got a podcast to plug. A new way we hear it, podcast for Pro Football Weekly. You can go check those out. Unprintable podcast, I believe. There's a new one up there for folks in the McHenry County area. Check that out under the Shaw Media Podcast. And be sure to subscribe, by the way, to this Chicago Football Podcast on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave a comment as well. And go check out lootcrate.com/Shaw to use our promo code SHAW. Get $3 off your first crate. Dan Mott, thank you very much. Be sure to check out all of our Bears content on Twitter at Bears_Insider, on the web at ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears. They're on vacation. We're not. More Bears talk next week.